Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to episode 6.
Hey, hey, hey.
6 of the GC Podcast. I am Joe Brannon, the digital content developer on the GCI Media team. Avid high fiver. Michelle, let's do a high five.
Hey.
Episode 6. And you asked me this question before we actually hopped on here. Mm-hmm. You asked me, what would my superpower be?
Yes.
I want to fly. That would be my superpower, is wanting to fly.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Well, I'm Michelle Fleming, GCI Media Director. And if you know anything about me, you know that I'm a hashtag planner. If you know the Myers-Briggs, I am a J. 72 font, bold. And I think just listening to this episode reminded me of that, because it's about being intentional and being inspired. And so often people kind of are one or the other. Well, we have to plan or prepare, or we have to let the Holy Spirit move. And I think it's both, you know? And I think that this episode really gets into that. And so I'm excited for this one to roll out.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, we are so glad that you are here and wanting to invest in yourself as a ministry leader. And boy, do we have a good one today. You know, most of the episodes that we've done, Michelle, I've had an idea of where I wanted to go with the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I've had the conversations with most of our guests over the years, you know, especially the last several episodes. I mean, with my wife.
Yeah.
We've talked about all the worship stuff with Mike Rasmussen, talked about leadership stuff for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, though, I genuinely felt like I was a student sitting at the teacher's feet, just wanting to input.
Because this is one of your passions.
It is. Mm-hmm. It really is. Just listening and able to ask questions that I really wanted to know, you know, it was a lot of fun.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I was able to sit down with Anthony Mullins, pastor of the GCI Church in Hickory, North Carolina, and ask him, how in the world does he prep for sermons?
Mm.
He is a dynamic speaker who doesn't use notes, and he's one of those speakers who knows how to deliver the gospel message in such a compelling way. And he shares his process, tips, and listen, guys, he shares his biggest secrets.
Ooh la la.
Yes. I thought about calling this the secret of sermon prep, but I don't think the secret's what you think it may be.
Ooh.
Yeah. You'll just have to listen. But before we jump into this episode, as a reminder, hey, Michelle, did you know GC Podcast was on iTunes and Google Play and Spotify?
Sure do. Sure have subscribed.
Same here. Hey, avid high fiver. Here we go. Sorry, that was a little bit like hard.
It was like a high four, but
yeah,
that was
cool. Kind of a high four.
I'll take it.
Yes, we are on all those platforms. So be sure to subscribe to it, share it, review it, give us feedback. Let's make this a relationship. You know, let's talk. You know, so let us know what you think and what episodes that you would like to hear. What topics would you like to hear?
Or if there's something you want to hear more about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, as a reminder, the regional celebrations are still going. The once called regional conference is now a time to celebrate on what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are doing in our churches. The GCI regional celebration registrations are closing. Sorry. There's only 2 locations left where you can get registered, Michelle.
Yeah, jump on. Register while you can.
Yes. Noblesville, Indiana is open until August 1st, which is only a couple of months away. It's going to fly by.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ocean City, Maryland is open until September 9th. Unfortunately, the Dallas and Charlotte registrations are now closed. Those celebrations are coming up, which you and I are going
to
be at.
Yeah, we hope to see you there.
Yes, yes. So get registered. The deadlines will sneak up on you. You can go to gci.org/events for the dates, schedules, and how to get registered. So you won't want to miss it. Let's jump into this episode 6 with Anthony Mullins and the art of sermon prep. In the studio today, I've got the one, the only Anthony Mullen.
What's up, Joe Brandon?
hey.
You're such a great podcaster, by the way. I've been listening to your earlier work.
Yeah.
I hope this is your best one yet, but I'm just, man, I'm proud of what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It may be one of my best ones yet, but it won't be my favorite.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You had
There's
Mrs.
only one favorite.
Megan Brandon.
I did. So Anthony Mullins is the senior pastor of Grace Communion Hickory. He is a husband and a stepdad of two daughters. Lovely daughters, too. You are very proud of your daughters.
I am. Sarah and Leanna, they're just doing, they're living out their passion.
Yeah.
They're doing really, really well. And they're out of the house. So I hope they're not listening right now, but I do love them dearly.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I know that because you're always talking about them. When we're hanging out, you talk about them. But then you also talk about something interesting. You're a grandpa, too.
Yes, so your point. Sometimes, you know, age. I'm 48 years old and I have a grandchild.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy to me. But her name's Riley. She's 6 years old, precocious, smart, funny, can dance. She's got all the skills I don't have.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, she does. She really does.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But then you happen to be the national coordinator of the GCI intern program as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony loves Jesus. He loves his community of Hickory. Mm. And I'll tell you what, he's got a passion and a gift to connect with people. That's probably one of the biggest things that I noticed about you is how well you connect with people. The other thing that I really like is you're one of the best storytellers that I know. You do claim that you don't like pink shirts, but I think that's a lie.
That is such non-truth. I mean, the first time I met you, it was at a Gen Men event out in California. I think it was Converge West, maybe 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
And you had a pink salmon color shirt on.
No,
and
it was straight up pink.
Straight up pink.
Like hot pink.
And Mike Rasmussen, your mentor,
and
one time pastor was telling me about you, and he always just raved about you. And so I didn't want you to get the big head. So as soon as I met you, I knew listen, you've heard of the five love languages. Well, I think there's a sixth, and that sixth language is teasing. And I speak it very fluently. So I went right after you. And why I knew I was going to be good friends with you right away is you came back hot. You know, you were dishing it out more than I was giving. I'm like, hold on, brother, slow your roll. But it's, I love all colors.
You're a man of equal opportunity for all colors.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And then saying that you love coffee, I think, is an understatement. I would say if you had the choice, you would have an IV of coffee connected to you.
Hey, man, brother, if you know, when I give blood, I wonder sometimes if it's going to be Java that comes out. Like, sir, we can't use your blood. We don't know this blood type.
Yeah.
But I do love coffee. And listen, I didn't start drinking coffee until I was 33 years old.
Really?
Couldn't stand the taste of it. Love the smell, couldn't stand the taste. And then I tried a Java drink, a frozen drink from Starbucks, a Frappuccino, and it was my gateway drug to future caffeine because I love coffee. It keeps me going for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You got to have coffee when dealing with ministry.
Mm.
I say dealing with ministry, when you can participate in ministry.
I like how you did the switch up there.
Yeah. As if it's a burden. It's not. It's not a burden.
I mean, there's highs and lows,
absolutely,
of course, in the life experience, but what a privilege it is to be a minister of the gospel.
Mm.
You know, as we talk about preaching today, it's always a privilege to proclaim the truth revealed in Jesus Christ. And that, I think, is the setup for good preaching, that you see it as an honor to show up in the Hope venue and to state the greatest story that's ever been told, the meta-narrative over all creation. So, yeah, it is pretty cool to be a part of it.
Yeah, it really is. You kind of took the thunder of the whole podcast. So
sweet.
This is going to be the shortest podcast that we've ever had. No, but
awesome.
It's a great segue, brother. You know, I wanted to get you on this podcast because I've known you for, like you said, probably what, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
About 6 years. And we have a lot of pastors and ministry leaders and ministry workers who are listening, and they give sermons, they give messages. And it can be difficult just giving a message. It sure can be. But then to do it every single week, especially mm-hmm. those full-time pastors. And when I say full-time, I'm not talking about just those who get paid full-time, but even our bivocational pastors,
right.
they're full-time
right.
in pastoral sure. ministry. And the thing I've noticed about you, Anthony, is the way you deliver a message and mm-hmm. a sermon is so compelling. And you just draw people into it, and I've always been amazed at it. So it's kind of a selfish reason on why I have you on the podcast, because mm-hmm. I've sat there and asked these questions to myself, like, how does he do that, and how does mm-hmm. he prep? And so I'm wanting to talk about the art of yeah. sermon preparation,
sure.
not just sermon delivery, but sermon preparation.
Of course.
And I mean, I've grown up in the church, so I've seen a lot of different speakers,
mm-hmm.
and I would have to say, out of all the speakers that I've heard, and I absolutely love some of the speakers that I've heard.
Amen.
You are definitely probably one of the most gifted and talented speakers that I have personally heard, especially within a GCI context.
Well, that's humbling. Praise Jesus.
And I would definitely put you up there with even some of the quote unquote big name pastors that speak on big stages. I would compare you with those guys that do it on a full-time basis. That's all they do is just go around speaking.
Hmm.
You know, some of the notes that I have here, because I could have sat there and just kept going on and on and on. So I wrote notes so I could stay focused. But your messages are compelling. They're engaging. It's inspirational. And it never gets old. I always get excited when I get to hear you speak.
See, I don't know what to do with this, because you're complimenting Jesus first and foremost.
Amen.
I know what to do with
Amen.
That. But you're never nice to me like this. So I'm really, this is really discombobulating for the purpose of this podcast.
That's why I'm so good at interviewing and podcasts.
That's
I just
it.
Blindside people.
Thank you very much,
with
Joe.
With kindness.
Yes. Kill me with kindness. You go for it.
And I think one of the biggest things, you know, you said praise Jesus. Mm-hmm. The biggest things, one of the biggest things that I noticed about your preaching is how you make the scripture come alive. And I know what you're going to start getting into, because we briefly talked about this, so I'm excited about sharing this. But I want to talk about your process for preparing for a message. Mm. Where in the world do you start?
Mm. Great question. I don't start with process. That's my process. Ultimately, I have a personal conviction, Joe, that Jesus, who is the risen and ascended Lord, wants to meet me in the preparation. And so there's an event of the word, the Logos. Jesus is a living word. And that I think sometimes pastors get in and preachers get into this rut of thinking, well, I'm a service provider, so I've got to deliver another sermon to the congregation. And that can feel like pressure, and that can feel like you're just providing a service. But my approach by the Holy Spirit, it's not my approach. I think where the Spirit has led me is to anticipate, almost have an advent each and every week, that the Word is going to have a personal event with me in the preparation. I expect it. I anticipate it. And so here I sit with you on today is the 1 year anniversary of our church's relaunch
yeah.
at Grace Communion Hickory. We celebrate that. Praise God yeah. for His faithfulness
Amen.
And provision. So over the past year, I've gotten into a routine of preaching almost every Sunday. But what I'm finding, God not only cares about what I'm going to say and preach and proclaim on Sunday to the congregation, but maybe He even cares more about what He's doing in me during the week, not just through me on Sunday.
Right.
And so before I even get into the methodology of preparing a sermon message, I just come with my hands up, anticipating that the Lord is going to meet me. And this year, as good as and fun as it is to deliver a sermon on Sunday, I've been so much more grateful for what God has been doing to me personally by His Spirit, intimately throughout the week. So what that leads me to is when I show up on a Sunday in the Hope venue, I don't feel like I just have to say something. that truly God has given me something to say because he's been encountering me all week long. So to answer your specific question about, you know, working on the craft of preaching, you know, the art of it and the process, I start on Sunday, even after we've had the Sunday celebration with our congregation, usually in the evening, I'll start to look at the lections for the week, the four readings from the Revised Common Lectionary. And some I've been asked from time to time, well, how do you go about choosing a pericope or a text, you know, that you're going to preach on Sunday? And I just find often the passage chooses me. You know, as I read through all four readings, the two from the Old Testament, the two from the New, there's just a text that will jump off the page. And it's not just about me, like, oh, I want to preach that particular passage. But it's ultimately because, you know, our Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit is not bound by time and space, and he always has a fresh word for the congregation. Yeah. And I've just been amazed at how timely a particular passage is for us. Now, because we are a relaunched church, as you know, Joe, a relaunched church functions very similarly to a church plant.
Yes.
It's we have new members. We have people who are new Christians, and they're not familiar with the Bible. So we often pick the gospel text, one of the either the synoptics or John, because let's just go and see Jesus, who is the fullness of glory and divinity, but also the true human that shows us how to live this life. And we have new members who attended church in their past, but they'd always read the Bible from a legalistic perspective. Mm. And so what a privilege it is to go to one of the gospel texts and have them fall in love with the God revealed in Jesus Christ, who loves them and is for them and is with them as he abides in them. So we find ourselves often in the gospel text. But let me circle back to your question. I read the four lections on Sunday, and generally that evening I've chosen, or it's chosen me, what I'm going to preach about that week. And so what I do is I read through the Bible passage every day, multiple times. I just let the word wash over me all week long. I have learned the hard way not to wait to the last day to choose a text and then try to pull something together. It doesn't work for me. Some people probably are far more gifted at pulling something together at the last moment. I'm the type that just really wants to meditate on it throughout the week.
Yeah.
And as I read over the passage and pray through it and ask the Lord what he wants to reveal, it's his word, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to impute what I want to say. I don't even bring my own stories to it. I let the text do all the work because the themes and the points of the message for that Sunday are going to come out of the text. And it's amazing how the Spirit always illuminates your mind and your heart of certain stories that you want to tell or examples in your own personal life. You're a living parable, as it were, in that way. But I read through the text every day. I meditate. I pray over it. And then I go look at commentaries. I'm really interested to hear what other pastors, preachers, theologians have said about that particular text. And so I read the words of others, not that I want to use their words, you know, because I believe the Lord has a fresh word for me, but I'm always looking for a nugget, you know, something like, oh, a perspective I had not considered, whether it's a historical perspective or the context of the culture at the time or whatever it is that will help people be inspired to understand what Jesus was speaking to and how that really does connect to us in the here and now. So I read the commentators. You know, there's certain theologians I love to connect with, and I'll hear what they have to say. But ultimately, I'm always looking for Jesus because he's the word in the word. It's all about him. He said, you go to scriptures looking for life. It's about me. Yeah. So, you know, as I go to the text, I want to see what is the Christ-centered approach to this particular text. Because I don't want, as you know, the Torrances often say, I don't want people falling back on themselves. Like, you know, I've got to work up this life of following Christ, that he is the perfect response on our behalf. So now let's go live into this life that he's given us in the Father, Son, and Spirit. So I prepare all week long, and I take time every day just to meditate on it, generally in the mornings, and it starts to form and come together by the time Sunday rolls around. And one of the reasons, Joe, that I try not to wait until the last minute to prepare a sermon is, you know, Saturday, I'm not only a preacher, I'm a pastor. You know, I know they're the same, but pastoral duties call for more than just preaching on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday's a big day with events in the community,
right?
Events going on with your church members, birthday parties, sporting events, band recital, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I want to be available to that. And if I have to spend 8 hours on a Saturday preparing a sermon,
right,
I'm not available to that. So this is one of the reasons I like to think it through all week long.
Yeah. So it sounds like you start off with your own personal study.
Hmm.
Throughout the week, it starts with your encountering Jesus and God, and like, what is it that you're doing in my life?
Yeah.
And then when you start reading through the passages, and you said you first start in the RCL, the Revised Common Lectionary, and you see what that particular week's readings are, and you start going through that. Do you go through that Sunday night?
I do.
Wait, so because if anybody has preached or done any kind of pastoral role or even ministry leading on a Sunday, even if it's just one service, I'm exhausted at the end of it. Afterwards, I mean, I'm filled, but I'm exhausted, and I just want to take a nap and maybe watch some football if it's football season, and then go to bed.
Sure.
So you're sitting there reading for next week's sermon Sunday night.
Yeah, I am. I'm generally, Joe, I understand that, and I understand if somebody has to wait until later in the week to come to the RCL.
Sure.
But for me, I'm energized after Sunday. I'm ready to get to the next thing.
Yeah.
And the word is energizing because, again, there's an event to the word. He meets me in it. So, yeah, generally it starts on Sunday evening. I don't take a lot of time. I mean, I've already invested a lot of time with the congregation. You know, I want to spend time with my wife and other things. So, but I do want to get started on the week. So I get started right away.
And then you do a little bit every single day.
I do.
You read the scripture that has found you, where God is meeting you.
Yeah.
And you just really dig deep into that through different studies and everything.
Yeah. I think to be a healthy proclaimer of the word, to have inspired preaching, you personally have to be formed. Mm. And I know I'm a work in progress.
Yeah.
I see it. And that's why even some of the stories that I share, I think as a preacher, it's really important that, you know, you're not the hero of the story. It's obviously Jesus. But as you tell personal stories, that people see, you know, I'm in this journey with you, just like you are. And there are times where I just fall flat on my face. My faith doesn't look strong, you know, during the week, that, you know, that you give them the congregation insight that we're on a journey together. Let's learn together. I just happen to be the one that the Lord has invited to proclaim it today. That's it.
Right.
But we're in this together.
Yeah. So do you include any people within the quote unquote process? Like, if you're wrestling with a passage or you have this particular idea, do you share it with like your pastoral team? I know you and Elizabeth talk a lot about this stuff, but do you go out even outside of that?
It depends. I don't have a methodology like I'm going to do it this way or that way each and every week. I mean, every week I talk with my wife, Elizabeth, about the passage because she's sharp. She's well-read. She's much smarter than I am. So I really love how she holds up a mirror and helps me see what I don't see, you know, and because we all bring our own lens to the text, you know, and so it's so helpful to chew on the word together, if I can use that analogy, with her. But I'll just take this past week, for instance. I met my co-pastor, Paul David Kurtz, for lunch one day, and we were talking about the passage I was preaching from just yesterday.
Yeah.
And man, we were just feeding off each other. And you know, the Lord is mediating that conversation by His Spirit. And we were both inspired and we were on the same page, not only with what we interpret that text to be, but just our theology, you know, that we bring to the table. And we're just, man, it was mutual iron sharpening iron. And so it spoke to me. and it informed what I wanted to say on Sunday. So again, I don't have a method to do that each and every week, but yes, I don't assume that I've got it figured out, and I love to talk with it.
Talk
about it with others.
And that's what I've noticed about you, Anthony, when you are speaking. It's not from the stance of this is the word of which I have to share, but it's more of, hey, we're on this journey together. We're trying to figure this out. You've even said when you're speaking, you're like, I have a hard time wrapping my brain around this.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. But this is what I have seen in the way that I see it based off of the lens of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. And that's why, you know, I tell people all the time, as far as I'm concerned, there's four sermons preached every Sunday. It's the sermon you prepare, the sermon you actually deliver at the church service, the sermon that you wish you had remembered to deliver on the way home. You're going through it and like, oh, I forgot to say that, or I wish I'd added that. But the most important thing is, again, there's an event of the word on Sundays. So the most important sermon is the one that is heard and mediated by the Holy Spirit. So I want to be competent in my preaching. I want it to be inspired. I want people to really be engaged with what's being said and delivered that day. But most importantly is, what are they hearing?
Yeah.
You know, what's being listened to that day? And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I have nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. Praise God. That pressure's off of me.
Yeah. I think it's easy for us to get caught up in what we're doing.
Yeah.
Even within the preparation of things and whatever it is, that we start to think that we're doing something. And we are, we're participating, but we can lose sight of, no, this is all about Jesus.
Amen.
All about Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, amen to that. And He is the Word. I mean, His Word somehow, miraculously, I don't know the metaphysics of it, but He spoke the world into existence, and He is holding it all together and sustaining it by His word.
Yeah.
So I just see it as a privilege. I mean, it's not that I don't feel some nervous anxiety right before I have this opportunity, because listen, Joe, I take proclaiming the gospel seriously.
Yeah.
I just don't take myself too seriously.
Oh, that's
you
good.
Know, I am just a conduit of the spoken word, and I want to do it well. I saw a survey, I guess it was in the past year, from Pew Research. They surveyed thousands of millennials, you know, those who are under the age of about 35 to 20-ish. And why do they come to church? And most people, I think, would say, oh, it's the worship band, or the, you know, the lights and, you know, the action and all that. And that matters, but it was last on the list. Still, with even millennials, they want to come and hear the gospel through a sermon.
Wow.
That's why they show up. And so I say to pastors all, take this seriously.
Yeah.
You don't have to take yourself seriously. And the good news is, even if it's a clunker of a sermon, and I've done a few, you know, when I just go, God, I feel like I've let the congregation down. It's those weeks that seems like I get the response from a congregate going, that was the word I needed to hear. And I go, oh, hallelujah, praise God.
Yeah.
His word will go out and it won't come back empty. That's up to Him.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. But as a participant, as an under-shepherd, I know He's ultimately the preacher. It's His word, but I get to join Him. And I want to make the most of it. And so I think preparation is really key to honing the craft of preaching.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I keep saying, one of the things.
Hey, would you stop that, Joe?
It's a multiple.
Can I call you out every time you do that?
Something that has struck me when you are preaching is you don't have any notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen other preachers do that, but there's not too many that do that. And I've seen preachers get up and preach without notes, and they are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You can't follow them, and it's just like they're just going everywhere. But with you, I haven't encountered you going all over the place, but then I don't see your notes.
Mm.
Why do you do that?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the way the Lord has shaped me. I love to internalize what I'm going to say.
Mm.
But preaching without notes is actually an illusion, because the passage from the Bible, they're your notes.
Mm.
Like the text actually does the work. So you see me holding a Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the words are always, you know, the power's not in the words themselves. They point to a truth. And when I see certain words, suddenly it unlocks all the thoughts that I have already internalized that I want to say, or I believe the Spirit's given me to say that day. When I was, when I was in 10th grade, I very vividly remember being in an English literature class, and I had to give an oral book report. You know how people's nervousness will show up in different ways? Man, I was monotone and my head was down. I didn't want to look at anybody because I was even bored with myself. I can only imagine how they felt. And I remember looking over to my teacher, hoping there'd be some sort of support there, moral support. And even her head was down and she wasn't even looking at me. And I'm like, this is lousy. And for those of you who know me, one of the fears I have in a moment of confession, I really fear public humiliation.
Mm.
And I felt humiliated in front of a whole class that day. So there was a couple of choices, either just get away from public speaking altogether. But what I chose to do my junior year was take a public speaking course. So Judith Brown, you know, Laurel County High School, London, Kentucky, you know, she was a teacher, a great teacher. She would not let us speak with elaborate notes. We had a 3x5 card, and we could only write one word for a particular section, and that word had to unlock all of our thoughts. And so fortunately, I had a little bit of training that way, and that eventually was my on-ramp for speaking without any notes. I don't take up any paper with me. It's just the scripture. But I internalized the message throughout the week. And what I have found, Joe, this is the brilliance of it. Once it's been internalized, not that I memorize everything, I don't do that, but I'd say somewhere between 50 to 75% of the message, I've kind of already memorized it.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives me great freedom on Sunday to, even if I need to go off, if the Lord is speaking a word to me in the moment that I need to veer off course just for a moment, I know I can get right back on because I know where the Lord has already taken me through the week. So it gives me great freedom on Sunday. And I love, the first time I spoke without notes, I was scared to death because it's like you're up on the tightrope and there's no net underneath you, man.
Right.
You're
dead.
By the way, Joe, I've had that happen. I got up. I remember one time preaching in a church in Atlanta, and I stood up and I said, "Good morning." And I went blank
Hey,
good morning. I mean, it was done. I was like, and I just told him, I said, I totally forgot where I was going right then and there, right from the get-go. But I have, you know, like anything, you do it more and more and you find a comfort level that the Spirit is going to be with me in the moment. And so internalizing it, it just gives me ownership. Like these aren't somebody else's words. This is the word of the Spirit, and I've taken ownership of it myself. So I'm ready to go on Sunday morning.
So like you've spoken a little bit of how you get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But what if, like, when you're having to memorize, like, a quote from a theologian or from somebody else,
mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you just memorize it?
Mm. Again, I said this before, it depends. I mean, it's
okay.
Some quotes are so involved,
right.
I'll just put them, I do use PowerPoint, so I have slide presentation, and I'll have it up there verbatim and just read it, or have somebody from the congregation read it. But other times, I internalize it. I love sharp quotes, that speak a powerful truth in a succinct way.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I do memorize it, and I try to give always credit to who said it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want it to be my words. I'm not saying it just because some great man or woman said it. It really connects to the life of this particular event of the word and the message.
Yeah, you don't use a quote just for using a quote's sake or to...
Yeah.
name drop.
Absolutely not.
If it's not enhancing the message and doesn't go along with the message, then there's no quote. Because you're already quoting.
Absolutely.
You're quoting scripture.
Absolutely. Well said. And it's not like I go seeking a quote every Sunday, you know.
Right.
And this is a word of caution to preachers is, you know, if you do place a quote in your slide presentation, you know, don't have it to be so lengthy and it just sort of detracts from the main message. Mm. You know, I think sometimes if we're not prepared, we try to go to those kind of things so we don't have to do as much work in the preparation. But only if it brings something and enhances, you know, the message for the day, for sure.
So you say that you memorize 50 to 70% of the message.
Yeah. I said 75%, so you're not really listening.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
I'm just playing.
I thought it'd be higher than that, but I guess not.
sure.
But when you're memorizing, when you're trying to memorize, do you memorize in chunks or is it like you already have this process? Okay, my intro is going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Is it more like skeleton or is it a lot more of like almost word for word of like, this is exactly what I'm going to say?
Mm. Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm not sure I have a satisfying answer. Mm-hmm. It can be both.
Gotcha.
Sometimes it's so critical that I think the point I want to make, I do memorize it word for word. But most time, it is just kind of the general sense of what the Lord has given me to say.
Yeah.
So it's both and.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's helpful. But sometimes people think, well, memorization, it'll come across like it's rote or it's, you know, mechanical or robotic. No, for me, and I'm just saying for me, Joe, it's just the opposite. It frees me up to move around on the stage, to, you know, to engage my audience, to really pay attention to even their body language as I'm sharing, because I already know the message. I'm not trying to grasp for words. So sometimes it's word for word and sometimes it's just a general.
How much time do you think you spend in preparation?
Yeah, it's
a
great
week.
Question. I used to spend a lot less. Like, Joe, it's funny. I used to pride myself on being able to put a sermon together in 2 hours and it'd be like, yeah, that's good. I had to repent of that.
Mm.
Because I think I was shortchanging the congregation, but maybe even more importantly, shortchanging myself, you know, in the way that the Spirit wanted to form me in the process. I'd say on an average week, anywhere from 8 to 10 hours I spend now. So a little bit of time every morning, so I'm meditating on it. But, you know, it's hard to quantify how much thought really gets put into it because sometimes I'm just thinking about it as I'm doing other work.
Right.
So it may even be 12, 14 hours if you add up all the mental energy that gets put into it. But yeah, I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 hours per week.
When you're meditating on it and you're spending kind of your daily time chewing on it, do you write it down? Like, do you take notes? Do you write it down? And then just kind of mull over those notes, you know, a couple days before Sunday.
I'm 48 and I'm a grandpa. So yes, I write them down now. I type them up on my laptop. I could just memorize it. You know, I had a great short-term memory, not so much anymore. So yeah, I do type up a lot of thoughts, so I can continue to go back. As a matter of fact, what I'll do early in the week, some of the initial thoughts that I have, I'll go ahead and type them up and I'll print them off hard copy and I put them by my reading chair in the morning. And then I'll just continue to read over my initial thoughts and continue to develop those and think more deeply about it. So absolutely, I've got to write it down.
Gotcha. So you almost do like a rough draft pretty early on.
Yeah.
And then you start mulling over that and start making adjustments from there
as
God reveals himself through the
passage. Oh, and it's so... Joe, it's so wonderful. I mean, you've preached, so you know this.
Yeah.
When you think you've got a framework for the sermon that Sunday, and you get to Wednesday or Thursday, and the Spirit gives you a new word, a vantage point you hadn't considered, and it's like, hallelujah praise. I mean, it's just wonderful because you want to make much of Jesus. And, you know, I read a quote from Leonard Sweet, who's a professor of theology and New Testament study at Drew University. And he said, the best preachers I know love blind dates. I thought, it's like, what? But he's saying, you know, when you use the lectionary, oftentimes you'll come to a text you're not really that familiar with. So it's like sitting across the table from a blind date and you're going, well, how do you do? You know, let's get to know one another. And that's the brilliance of preaching through the lectionary. Over the course of 3 years, you're going to encounter passages. Yeah, you've probably read through the Bible before, but you really haven't allowed it to soak in. Yeah. You know, it goes beyond just reading for the sake of reading. Like, what are you doing? You are the risen, ascended Lord, present and mediating. What are you up to in this particular text?
Yeah.
I want to like you, blind date, you know, and just get to know you. And then by the time we get to Sunday, we're like, yeah, we're friends.
I like that. Yeah. I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah, I figured as much.
And I'm sure you were too when he said that.
Oh, yeah, like, dude.
A blind date.
Have you lost it?
Yeah. Man, we're running out of time here.
What?
I'm pretty bummed. I do want to ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
Where do you draw your inspiration from in the sense of stories and those kinds of things? Because you seem to be really good at finding a story that connects with the passage that you're preaching on for that Sunday. Is there like a particular area, or is it just because through your preparation throughout the week, something just strikes you?
That's more of it, Joe. Yeah. I used to, before I started preaching from the Revised Common Lectionary, I would have a great story, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to tell this story. So I would try to go find a passage that would fit the story.
Yeah.
What the lectionary allows you to do is read it and allow the major themes and points, and really the story comes out of it, out of the context of that passage. Things have happened in my life, sometimes in the past, or in the case of yesterday's sermon, something that just happened the day or
that
two
was
before.
Fresh.
It was very fresh example. So I let it come from the scripture, but ultimately I'm asking the Spirit to inspire me.
Yeah.
Lord, if there is something you want me to share with the congregation in a narrative form, we love story. Why? I mean, the Bible, for all the things that it is a narrative of God's working with his creation.
Amen.
It is a story. So I love telling story. It's compelling. And so I want to tell it with passion. I love, you know, for Corinthians, you know, we are compelled by Christ's love. And that word compelled in the Greek is a word synecho. It's almost like we can't help it. Like we are so filled with something, we can't help but proclaim it on Sunday. And I can see when I tell a story that people, they're leaning in. And that's what I'm always looking for as a preacher. You see people, they are locked in, and they want to know how this plays out. And then when they can see the connection to what Jesus is doing in the text, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And again, especially if it's personal, I mean, you always have to have some boundaries around the personal stories you tell. And again, you never want to be the center of the story.
Right.
It is Jesus. He's always the center. But narrative is powerful because ultimately, the way I see it, there's just one story ultimately in all the universe. It is the meta-narrative of what God has been doing. So even mythology and all the different stories we've heard throughout, you know, the ages, they all point to the one story. That's why there's commonality there. And so I'm getting off track with just a short time left, but I love telling stories, and it's Spirit-inspired. That's all I can say is the Lord awake. Because often, like this past week, it was a story that I didn't really consider that for a sermon. It's not like I try to have life experiences,
so I
can go tell a great story. But it happens.
Yeah.
And I'm asking the Spirit to give me an awareness to it.
Mm, yeah. And it seems like... I went blank on where I was going.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You didn't use notes. And this is a living parable for what it can be like.
It literally, like I knew exactly what question I was going to ask. And it was just like,
I love it.
So we have pastors, ministry leaders, ministry workers, volunteers listening to this.
Yes.
What is the biggest piece of advice you would give them when sermon prepping or preparing a message, whether it be in the context of a congregation or maybe it's a youth worker having to give a message, whatever it is, like what would be the biggest piece of advice?
What the Spirit just gave me in the moment, because I hadn't thought about this, was that passage in Revelation where Jesus is the center of the throne. And the elders and the heavenly creatures are around him and they're singing his praises. Make it an act of worship. And that's why I believe in the preparation that you are worshiping God all week long. So out of the overflow of that, you can show up in the hope venue and make much of hope because he has a name and his name is Jesus. So just make it about Jesus. And you do that, inspiration will come, and it will be powerful beyond your wildest dreams. It's a privilege, you know? And ultimately, what I would want to say to the preachers and proclaimers in our context is thank you. Because I know it is a labor of love, and to spend whatever time you do in investing and prepping a message, when you say yes to that, you're having to say no to something else.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for your submission to the word. Thank you that you're willing to invest the time and energy and all of yourself to bring a message on Sunday for the benefit of others. You inspire me. You're my heroes. And I'm just so, so grateful that Jesus allows us to join him in this. Hallelujah. To him be the glory.
What a great note to end on. I do have one last question to ask you.
Sure.
This is where the more serious questions come from.
I almost have a feeling this is a setup.
What would you do?
Oh, here we go.
If you found an elephant in your backyard. And you don't have much of a backyard either.
No, I don't. So he would be taking up the whole backyard. Elephant, man.
Full-grown elephant.
Full-grown elephant.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
Do you think the raccoon would still be around?
Oh, see, I'm not even going to touch that. But you know, I'd probably go out and I'd be like trying to make elephant noises to him to get him to do. Can you do an elephant noise? You know how they raise their trunk and then... Oh, that's good. So I'm going to call Joe Brannon and I'll be like, man, come and do your thing and let's converse with this elephant. How did the elephant get there? Is this the elephant in the room? Like this is...
Maybe.
Wow.
So you really don't have an answer to it? You would go outside and play with it?
No, I wouldn't. I would stand on my back porch and be like, hey, Elizabeth, do you, honey, do you know what to do with this thing back here? Have you ever ridden an elephant, by the way?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No, I'd love to.
That would be a lot of fun, especially if you could climb up the trunk. Have you seen those people where the elephant will pick them up by their trunk and put them on their back?
Oh, that would be cool. Or if you're like a cowboy you're jumping on a horse, you know, and you could just run and jump on. Like if I could get on an elephant like that, I mean, these things are, 12 feet tall or so?
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, I can't jump.
No, you can't.
White man can't jump. I think there was a white man can't jump. Yeah, I have got no vertical leap.
Anthony, thank you so much for sharing your experience and some of your process of how you prepare for your sermons and your messages and those kinds of things. It has been a wealth of knowledge. It really is. And I know you are always pointing to Jesus, even in life, not just on Sunday.
I hope so.
And really appreciate you being here, brother.
It's a privilege and an honor. Thank you. You're great at this, by the way, Joe. Keep up the good work, man. I love podcasts. Can I keep talking just for a second?
Sure.
I love podcasts because you can do it on your own time. Like, I listen to podcasts when I'm getting ready in the morning, when I'm driving in the car. This is such a great resource and tool for pastors and ministry leaders to have. So well done. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, man.
Thanks. What a great interview that was with Anthony. You couldn't see it. I was able to see it because he was in the studio, but I hope you were able to hear his passion for Jesus and delivering the gospel message. I like that guy.
It was great. I mean, just how he kept pointing back and back and back, and
yes.
You could tell that it is really an overflow of what God is speaking to him. And we were talking about this the other day, Joe, about how so often we don't want to approach the Word as a thing that we want to pull insights from, right?
Yeah.
The Word is the person of Jesus who we want to encounter.
Yeah.
You know, He's the living Word. And you hear that in everything Anthony says and does. And I think that's just so beautiful. And I think that really speaks to the impact that his messages can have.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that aha moment for me was how he said, we should be taking sharing the gospel seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And with what you were saying, essentially, his messages are an outflow of his relationship of God and reading the text and reading the Word and being inspired by Jesus in the Word. He goes, he said something to the degree of like, the inspiration is right there in front of us.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't need notes.
Right.
Because it's in the text.
Exactly, exactly. So I really hope that you all who give messages, preachers, pastors, really got some good stuff out of it. But you can check out the show notes at the resources site. That's resources.gci.org/GC podcast. Before we jump off here, as a reminder, the 2019 regional celebrations are going on, and the theme is Healthy Leaders for Healthy Churches. Registration is only open for Noblesville, Indiana, and Ocean City, Maryland, so go get registered. You don't want to miss this. You can get more information at gci.org/events. And, man, bring your ministry leaders to this. You really need to bring it. We keep stressing this.
What an opportunity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you guys hear this theme in every single episode about these celebrations?
Mm-hmm.
Collaboration. Do it as a team. Bring your team.
Yeah, we are team-based, Pastor Led.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You will not want to miss this event.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.